Amen. Amen. I want to invite your attention this morning to a verse of scripture in Psalm 96.
All right.
Psalm 96. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along, or your iPads or mobile device, where you can access the reading of the scripture, or you can follow on the screens. Listen to the encouragement of this song. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Or you might even add to that, above anything else. God is worthy of all the praise. I want to share with you just a few minutes today the power of great praise. Before you take your seats, look at someone and welcome this morning to the services and just say to them, we're going to give God praise. Amen. Father, we do thank you again for this wonderful time that we can come together and worship you. We get our minds away from everything else, the distractions of this world, and the noise and confusion of the day in which we live. We want to focus on who you are and how you're in our life and how you've done great and marvelous things, none of which we're worthy, but all of which we need. Bless us now as we hear your word. And God, may this be a time well spent. Change us. Change us by what we hear. And change us for the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can I be honest with you for just a few minutes? There are times when I don't always give God praise. If you were honest with yourself, you would say there are times that I don't always give God praise. The Bible says to bless the Lord at all times, at all times. Under every circumstance, we're to bless the Lord. Now, what happens when you praise and honor God? Immediately, your focus changes. Your mind is not on the things of this world, but it's on the things of God. As you're going to discover as you read this entire psalm, it says to praise the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Now, what is it that prevents me from praising God? What is it that distracts me from praising God? It's something called me-ism. Me-ism. Ism, of course, is the belief in, and me, of course, is the object of that belief. Me-ism. But when you praise God, it is the expression of your love to God. Of your love to God. How much do you love him? We say, oh, how I love Jesus. But as soon as we stump our toe, or somebody else stumps our toe, we stop praising God because of that. And then it is our testimony of God's goodness. God's goodness. His goodness and his mercy does what? It endures forever. God is worthy of our praise. You can never praise him too much. But you can praise him too little based on this thing called me-ism. Yes, the greatest enemy to praise is us, not the devil, but it's us. What stands in the way of us having a song in our heart is that we've been distracted and we're more focused on our own self and our own need. How many times have you very quickly said to God when you were going through a crisis, I don't deserve this. The fact is, you don't know what you deserve. And God, in his mercy, turns to give you grace that you might in turn offer to him praise. This me-ism is the belief in me to the point that my goals, my aspirations, my personal achievements are the highest hopes of my life. Me-ism. Me-ism is dangerous because it's highly toxic. You can rebuke the devil, but how do you rebuke yourself? Meism is focused on 1,000 different things in 1,000 different directions other than God. But when you turn to God and you behold His beauty and His glory, you focus not on self, but on who He is. This is one of those wonderful psalms that it invites you to escape the world, get into the presence of God, and sing. Let me ask you a question. Who stole your song? Was it someone, or was it some incident, or is it some circumstance that has now bombarded your life? Who stole your song? How do you get the song back? Well, you've got to focus on two things: God's goodness and your love for Him. And you got to focus on the fact that we need to give testimony to this world. This is one of those positive psalms. It is one of those psalms that it really looks at why we should offer God praise. Now, you're getting ready to get into the Thanksgiving season, and many people go through the Thanksgiving season, they spend more time on the turkey than they do on giving God thanks. Are we real? And we rarely reflect on how good and how merciful God has been to every one of us. A lot of things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for the means by which God has provided for me there. The list could go on and on as you give God thanks. Listen to the words again. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Now, you want to stop from complaining, do this. There's no way you can worship God and praise God and still complain. You've got to focus on who He is and His mercy. And it says to show forth His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the unbelievers and the heathen, and His wonders among all people. And I'll tell you the reason why in just a few minutes. And then it says, for the Lord is great. Who would debate that? Is there anyone that can debate that God is great? We've been taught as little children to pray, God is great, and what else? God is good. He is good. That nature of God will never change, and therefore our praises to God should never cease. We must give Him praise. We must give Him adoration. And it says, and He's greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And yet sometimes, even in our praise, we don't focus on God. Many people go to church today, and what do they say? They want to get their praise on. Now, there's nothing wrong with you enjoying worship. But the worship is not for you to invoke some kind of feeling. The worship is not for you to say, well, this is for me. Who is this praise to go to? It is to go to God. Why? Because He is worthy. Why? Because His nature never changed. Why? Because His mercy endures forever. God wants to bless you. God is blessing you. And because He's blessing you, there ought to be a response on our part. Here's some praise warnings. Here's some things that you need to focus on. You cannot base your praise out of obligation. Well, let me go to church today. Let me go there, and you know, I haven't been for a while. Let me go to church today. Let me just go and I'll just go in and I'll pay my tithes. You know, I'll be glad when we get out. Or while you're in church, you got that attitude. You're looking at your watch. Okay, got something else to do. Not realizing the very one that gives you the next breath is warning you, inviting you to give Him praise. God's not going to force you, so don't think that your praise is out of obligation. But here's what ought to happen. When you start thinking about the goodness of the Lord, if you want to know how blessed you are, go to the hospital. Better yet, if you want to know how blessed you are, visit the morgue. Visit the funeral home. Then you will see that the Lord is blessing me right now. His praises endure forever. Don't ever make your praise out of obligation. Do it willingly. We usually sing a song this time of year, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. And when I did that, I counted my blessings, and then I counted the things that were not going right. And I looked at the list of the things that were not going right and the list of things that were going right. I got food to eat, shelter over my head, my car note is paid up. I want to bless God because I know that it's through his hands and by his mercy that he's made these things happen. But when you get over on the short list and you start thinking about, well, I'm going through this and I'm facing that, that's called life, folks. That's called being in this world. And I guarantee you, if you spend more time on the praise ledger, you spend more time over here in the column where it says, this is what the Lord has done for you. This is what God means to you. Spend more time on that list rather than on the short list. Are y'all with me today? Here's another praise warning. And I just mentioned it earlier, the fact that some come to praise God for self-gratification. Now, undoubtedly, when you start praising God, it's going to elevate you. It is going to actually push you higher because something is now happening that involves you. You are literally escaping the earth realm of the worries and the cares of this life, and now you're into the presence of God. Yeah, you're going to feel better. But the praise is not about feeling. It's about the reality that he is God. And beside him, there's none other. Give God his time. In this world, you're going to have a lot of things that's going to be dumped on you. A lot of things that's going to come your way you didn't ask for, and yet they're there. To test how much you love God, that's when you can hold your head up and say, God is still good. He is still merciful. His grace and his love endures forever. The Lord showed me something about prayer, and I don't have time to deal with all of it today. But many of us go into our prayer room, which is your sanctuary. You go into your prayer room and you bring a lot of stuff in there. You bring a lot of worries. Even while you're praying, you spend more time murmuring and going over stuff that is happening rather than offering praise to God. And then what happens is you actually have defiled your sanctuary. And you're wondering why prayer doesn't work. Well, you didn't really pray. You just went to God with a whole bunch of worries and, well, Lord, my kid's not acting right. Oh, God, my bill's not paid. Oh, yeah. And you're dragging all of these things into your sanctuary and you're wondering why you come out of your sanctuary weaker than you did when you went in. You did not enter into the presence of God. Your heart was not thankful unto him. You did not bless his name. As a matter of fact, some of you all are dealing with attitudes right now. And you ought to just let that stuff go. Let it go because if it was yesterday, that was yesterday. This song starts off by saying, sing unto the Lord a new song. A new song. What is God doing in your heart right now? What is he doing in your life right now? How good is God in you right now? That's what you need to focus on. That's what you call great praise. Why? Because you have a great God. So let's look at a couple of things today as we focus on this message. As a matter of fact, you need to read the entire psalm in order to really get everything that it's saying. The entire psalm will help you understand more about this wonderful God that you serve. The praise has to be genuine. The praise has to be real. It has to be something that is based on the truth. This nation right now is struggling with truth. They're saying things didn't happen or things did happen, and they're struggling with truth. If you don't know what the truth is, let me point you to the direction of the truth. God is truth. He is truth, and his truth endures to all generations. The praise has to be genuine. It has to come from our heart. And the first thing that you understand, the first truth that is revealed in this, the presence of the Lord invokes a song of praise. He starts off by saying, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, who? All the earth. Now, why does he bring in all the earth? Well, who made the earth? I look at the trees as they wave in the wind, and I wonder, why do the trees wave? You either wave or you break. They begin to give God praise. Have you ever noticed that? You ever noticed that the birds, as a matter of fact, a song was inspired to me about the birds singing on a snowy day. Why in the world would a bird sing on a snowy day? And I discovered that that bird had a song. It recognized who made it. If we would stop and recognize who made us. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and nothing's going to change that. As a matter of fact, when you think about how wonderfully you're made, now you're aging, and you're aging well, but God made you. And what an amazing thing that the Almighty God simply spoke to the other elements, and the trees appeared, the birds appeared. But when it came to making man, God shaped him, which meant he was special. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Don't let anything stop this genuine praise, because when you begin to give God genuine praise, you're saying that, Lord, you're the greatest thing that I value in all of my life. It's you, God, and I focus my attention on you. Genuine praise is that, because it is a response to the revelation of God. Listen, when you go to the ocean and you see how mighty the ocean is, or you look at the mountains and you see how mighty they are, they had to have a maker. And if God made the mighty ocean, if he made the mountains, if he made the plains, if he made all of these things that we can behold with our eyes, that is a revelation. It's called a natural revelation, but it shows the beauty and the majesty of God Almighty. Have you ever stood there and you looked at the ocean and you said, what a mighty God we serve? That's that song. That song, it begins to ring in your heart. How great is our God. Great is his faithfulness. Our God is awesome. He puts that song in your heart. Sadly, many have lost their song because you're looking in the wrong direction. Do you not know that this time in which we're living in is not going to endure forever? That struggle and that suffering that you're going through right now is not going to endure forever. But the majesty and the power of God, that endures. So what if you have to walk a little bent over now? Or maybe you need assistance. Or maybe you can't do everything that you used to do. But the fact that God woke you up this morning, started you on your way, let you know that he has given you this brand new day, you ought to sing unto the Lord a new song. But not only that, do we recognize that when the Lord's presence comes, it invokes singing. But the other thing about God is that God's salvation is the melody of the praise. Now, I want to broaden this term and not just look at the fact that God saved us from our sin. He did that, and that is the most important thing that God has done in your life. But the salvation is the complete word for God's deliverance. God's complete deliverance. Think about this. How many times did you get yourself in trouble and the Lord brought you out of trouble? The accident that you were in that could have cost you your life, and the law enforcement officer looks at you and says, I don't know how you made it out of this. You know how you made it. If it had not been for the Lord who was on your side. His salvation is complete. And never forget this saint of God. Never forget this child of God, that the Lord's presence in your life is not just there to be a genie in the box. Right. He is your almighty God to continue to walk with you. God gave you the Holy Spirit to keep you, yes, to preserve you. He knows all of your goings. He knows all of your dealings. And God tells you, many times he'll whisper to you, don't go that direction. Don't do what you're thinking about doing. Walk this way. There are times in your life where the Spirit is guiding us. Why? Because that's his salvation. Not only did God save you, he keeps you saved. I'm so thankful for that. Because you're not that good that you can keep yourself. You don't know enough about this world that you can preserve yourself. You don't know that the enemy of your soul circles around you every day wanting to get at you, wanting to destroy you. But the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the preserver of all of humanity, the preserver of this universe, keeps you. One psalm said, the Lord is my keeper. He's my shade upon my right hand. Now, a lot of y'all from the city, you don't really understand what shade really means. But when if you've ever been in the country and it got real hot and you had to find shade somewhere, any country folk in here? Listen, in the deserts that they were in and in those regions called the wilderness, the sun would blast upon them, but the Lord was their shade upon the right hand, and the Lord is your keeper. So why do we give him great praise? We give him great praise because of his wonderful salvation. So what does he say? Now you're going to step up your song. Now you're going to step up your song. There's this portion in the song that we sing, we call it the vamp. And the vamp is when you begin to repeat something and you say it over and over again. And I know, yes, I know, and I know, yes. And you begin to say that same thing over again. When you start thinking about how good God is, and you say it over and over again, God, he is good. Amen. When you come out of the doctor's office and the doctor says you're okay, God, he is good. When you've been able to take what resources you have and pay all of your bills, God, he is good. When you can look up and you know that he's your keeper, you say, God is good. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Don't just talk about it. Show it. What difference does it make in your life that God is good? And that's what he's talking about in this psalm. And I want to encourage you as you go into this Thanksgiving season, read the words of this psalm. Say it over in your mind and say, Lord, what do you really mean to me? And allow the Holy Spirit to feed you this a little bit by little. Allow him to teach you the greatness of God. Then thirdly, as you look at this and you look at the truths of what we have, praise is the testimony of God's people. It is the testimony of God's people. Now, here's what's happening. Evil is beginning to dominate the nations, if it has not already. It's dominating the nation. It is stealing the minds of the world's leaders. And you've heard the proverb that says, as go the leaders, so goes the people. Not with us. We got another leader. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Glory. And I know that they're in our offices, higher offices, and they're going this way and that way, and both of them wrong. Why? Because they're not stopping to pray. They're not asking God, Lord, what do you say about this? And our world is swaying back and forth like a drunken man. It's no wonder that they're violent. There's violence all over the world. But when you, as a child of God, when you begin to declare his glory among the heathen, when you start saying to yourself, his wonders endures forever, here's what you're doing. You're giving testimony to this world, and they can't stop your testimony. They might try to shut you up. They might try to block you out. But then even in a prison like Paul and Silas, you can sing in the prisons, God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now, why do you do that? In the middle of the psalm, we see something that God's getting ready to do. In the middle of the psalm, it says that he will come and he will judge the nations. He will judge the nations because of their wrong, because of their failure to offer him praise. He will judge the nations and he will judge them in righteousness. Verse 10 says, he shall judge the people in righteousness. And that verse starts off by saying, say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Right. We need to warn those who are lost. Amen. That God's going to judge this world. Amen. We've stopped telling about the salvation and about how God's going to judge this world. Ladies and gentlemen, things can't go on the way they are. Something has got to change. Yeah. Guess who's going to change it? Yeah, you got it right. God Almighty. He's going to come and he's going to change this evil world and he's going to make things right. As a matter of fact, the psalm closes by saying these words, "For he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth." If you go back over to the book of Revelation, the revelator says, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." When the last time you all said that? I've said it recently. I said, "Lord, I haven't been praying that in my life, but I'm praying it now because this mess is getting to us." But the only thing that can just get you above it until the Lord comes, you must offer him praise. Forget about everything else. Forget about folks talking about you. They've been talking all along. You just heard it that time. They've been talking all along. Now's the only time you heard it. But when you know who also is talking about you, they're talking about you in heaven. I'm talking about good things now. I'm talking about the mercy and the grace of God that is poured out in your life. Whose report do you believe? Report of man or the report of God? As for me, I'm going to listen to the Lord's report. Last thing, and then I close. Last thing, if you love God, you will sing his praises. You ever heard people use the expression, "Oh, they're singing his praises. Somebody did something and helped them. Oh, yeah, they're singing his praises." Well, are you singing the praises of God? Two things that will stop you from praising God. Either you don't know him. You can't sing what you don't know about. You don't know him, and therefore you cannot praise him because you don't know. And then you have to listen as the ones who do know him, as they give God praise. I'll tell you about Deacon John Toran, right? Deacon John Toran was not what you call a dynamic man. He was just a man that loved God. Always had a smile on his face. And when we were out in the country after we'd worked all day and we had to celebrate our with our libations, as soon as we would, come on, be real. You ain't been saved all your life. As soon as we would pop the top, Deacon John Toran would drive up. And all of those cans had to go into the woods. And Deacon John Toran would start talking about the goodness of God. Then he closed out by saying, "Okay, I'm expecting y'all in church next Sunday. Is that all right?" "Yes, sir, Deacon Toran. Yes, sir, that'd be all right." He gave testimony to the goodness of God. Now, I'm not going to say that that's the main reason why I am where I am today, but that's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons because somebody, rather than going about and gossiping, somebody gospeled. Y'all didn't catch that? You know, when you got the gospel, you don't have time for the other things and to talk about this or that or the weather. You talk about the goodness of the Lord, how good God is. But the second reason why some people cannot praise God in a great way, they may know him, but they don't truly love him. You don't truly love him. When my wife comes to me and says, "Do you love me?" I know it's because I haven't told her. She doesn't just want me to act like I love her. She said, "You got to tell me." I try to tell her by giving her the checkbooks every now and then. But she said, no, you've got to talk this. And ladies and gentlemen, after all God has done for you, demonstrated his love, gave you his very best, offered up his son on the cross, here is God who was willing to give it all for you. How can we give him little praise? How can we just say to him, "I'll give you Sunday morning about an hour"? How can we have the audacity to withdraw our praises from this great God who loved us so much and continues to love him? All I can say is, as for me, I'm going to give him praise. As for me, I will thank him. What about your house? What about you and your life? I know things might not look good right now, but God is good right now. I know that it may not be going the way you want it, but you got to know who's in control. When even you're in the valley of life, you know that it is the Lord that is your keeper. Three Hebrew boys found themselves in a fiery furnace. But guess who showed up? That fourth man. And if you begin to praise God, the fourth man will appear every time. You know why? Because the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Dump everything else out of your life. Dump all of the negativity out of your life and begin to give God praise because he's worthy. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Father, I thank you for helping us to refocus. Helping us to get our praise in the right direction. Forgive us for those times when we withdrew our praise. We were busy with our schedule, busy with our agenda. But Lord, this is your time. This is your moment, and we give you praise. Thank you for the amazing things that you've done. And Lord, not only will we praise you here, we're going to praise you out there. That's where the real battle is going on. We're going to praise you in a world that does not know you. And we're going to tell the world, this is our God. And we love him. Thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us to hear your word. Thank you for unfolding to us the truth of your scripture. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation. And our invitation is not just to those who are saved, but maybe those who are outside of the will of God. At some point, you've got to turn around. You've got to admit, I've gone in the wrong direction. It could have been a simple business deal or something that has happened in your life and got you on the wrong path away from God. Well, you can come back to him and you can worship him. So the invitation is given. We're going to ask that we all stand. Is there one? Maybe you